Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let us go to our Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your precious word. And Father, we know that you are Lord of the universe, you are Creator, and we, dear Lord, owe you all of our worship, all of our praise. We thank you for the Ten Commandments and what they teach. Today, dear Lord, as we look at the Sabbath, help us, dear Lord, to understand the intent of the Sabbath. Help us, dear Lord, please, to understand our relationship to it today. We pray these things in Jesus' name and to your glory. Amen. The fourth of the Ten Commandments here states, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Very simple, very easy to understand. But there's quite a bit of controversy still that surrounds it. The question now arises, if the Sabbath was only for the Jews in the Bible times, or should Christians today observe the Sabbath day also? Now let's first of all notice that there are many that hold that the Sabbath is to be observed today. Some hold that it should still be held on Saturday. Understand, the Sabbath was the last day of the week, and Saturday is the last day of the week. Saturday was the Sabbath. The Sabbath was held on Saturday. And so some hold we should still observe the Sabbath, and we should observe it on Saturday as it was originally given. Now, these churches meet on Saturday to keep the Sabbath. They would include Seventh-day Baptists. They would obviously include Seventh-day Adventists. They would further include various Hebrew roots groups who want to get back to the Hebrew roots of our faith. These churches hold that God has commanded us to keep the Sabbath, and that he never told us to change the day upon which the Sabbath was to be kept. Rather, any such change was made in error by man. And often the claim is made that the change was made back in 321 AD by Emperor Constantine. Now, others say, yes, we should observe the Sabbath, but we should observe it on Sunday. They worship on Sunday, but hold that Sunday is now the Christian Sabbath. These would include many different churches. For example, the Congregational churches or the Presbyterian churches. Indeed, the Westminster Confession of Faith states, as it is the law of nature that in general a due proportion of time be set apart for the worship of God, so in his word, by a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment binding all men in all ages, he hath particularly appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath, to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which in the scripture is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the, and notice, Christian Sabbath. So they hold that God intended the Sabbath for all mankind for all time. From the time of Adam, Adam observed the Sabbath, Noah observed the Sabbath, Abraham observed the Sabbath, etc., etc., that the non-Jewish people all were to observe the Sabbath, and so we are to observe the Sabbath today. The day of the week has changed. It's no longer Saturday. It's now Sunday, but they say it is still the Sabbath. And it is still binding. They believe that it's still binding today because the giving of the Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments, which they say is God's eternal moral law for all people, for all time, which never changes. Now, having said that, let me now state that there are at least 8 excellent reasons why the Sabbath is not, I repeat, not for Christians in this day of grace. First of all, there is no commandment in the New Testament to keep the Sabbath, none at all. While each of the other 10 commandments are repeated in some form in the New Testament, one will search in vain for a command to keep the Sabbath. For example, Jesus never commanded the disciples to keep the Sabbath. Oh, he had a lot to say about the Sabbath. There were confrontations between him and the Pharisees about the Sabbath. There were the time his disciples were going through the wheat fields and rubbed some grain out to eat it, and the Pharisees said, "You've broken the Sabbath," and Jesus spoke to them. There was the time when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, definitely did work on the Sabbath, the work of healing, and they said, "You've broken the Sabbath." But Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath. He could do whatever he wanted on the Sabbath. But you know, in all of these times, he never once said, "Yes, you're right, the Sabbath is not to be broken." He never commanded his disciples during his earthly ministry or after his resurrection to keep the Sabbath. And then we see the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul went all over the Roman world, winning people to Christ and establishing local churches. And never once did he tell those he won to Christ that they were to keep the Sabbath. He commanded them many other things. He taught them all kinds of other things, but he never told them to keep the Sabbath. In the early church, there was a lot of controversy about these non-Jews, these Gentiles accepting Christ. And some of the legalists of the Jews said, yes, they can become Christians, but they must observe the law. They need to be circumcised. They need to observe the Ten Commandments. They need to observe all the ceremonial laws. And this controversy arose, and so there was a council in Jerusalem recorded in Acts chapter 15, which considered that question of Gentile converts and the law. And the apostles were there, the pastors were there, the church here in Jerusalem, James, the half-brother of Jesus, was there. And you know what? They did not command them to keep the Sabbath. They said they don't need to be circumcised. They said now there are certain things they should do not to offend the Jews, such as eating meat with the blood. But, you know, they never said, and it would have been a perfect time for it, they need to keep the Sabbath. You thought that would be a major issue, but it is not mentioned. And then you can go through all the epistles of the New Testament, those of Paul and of Peter, of John, of James, of Jude, and we do not find one single command to keep the law. Yes, you shouldn't commit adultery. No, you should not kill. You should not lie. You should not bear false witness. You should not covet. You find all kinds of things. You shouldn't commit adultery. You shouldn't blaspheme God. But never once in all of these letters are believers told to keep the Sabbath. Now, if we're not commanded to keep the Sabbath in the law of Christ in the New Testament, I would say it's not for us today. Secondly, the early church set the example by meeting on Sunday for worship. You see, from the very first, the early Christians kept the first day of the week as the Lord's Day. Why? They commemorated the day of Christ's resurrection. As it were, they had an Easter each Sunday. We read in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, "And now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart on the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Wow, that was a long message. But you know, they had a habit of meeting. And when did they meet? On the first day of the week. Now, if it had been a habit to meet on another day of the week, Luke would have said, now, normally they met on Saturday, but because of Paul, they met on the first day. But he doesn't say that. Why? Because it's the habit already of the Christians to meet on Sunday. We find that also in the Epistle to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, when Paul writes, "On the first day of the week," that'd be Sunday, Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Paul was taking a collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he says, now, when you meet together, begin to take this collection up. So when I come, you won't have to hurriedly try to get something together. Be prepared in advance. And when does he say? On the first day. Why the first day? That's the day they normally met, on Sunday. We also read in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, some would like to say, well, the Lord's day meant Saturday, or it meant something else. And although this phrase for the Lord's day is found nowhere else in the New Testament, it is found in abundance in other early Christian writings. And by the end of the second century, this term was generally used for Sunday. So what is John saying? On Sunday, I was in the Spirit, I was worshiping God, and God gave me this revelation. We see the use of this phrase elsewhere. For example, Irenaeus, the Bishop of Lyons, wrote about 178, the mystery of the Lord's resurrection may not be celebrated on any other day than the Lord's day. Eusebius, about 315, continues that tradition and wrote that the churches observed the practice from apostolic tradition of celebrating the mystery of the Lord's resurrection only on the Lord's day. We would say Sunday, the day of the resurrection. And so, if the church set that example, shouldn't we follow it and worship on Sunday? Third, there is no historical record of the church changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. The Bible makes no mention of the Sabbath changing to Sunday. It's not even hinted at. As we study church history, we never read of the church changing the Sabbath to Sunday either. Indeed, it's notable in its absence from early Christian literature. You think if they would have made a change in some of the writings of the church fathers, we would have found it. And the claim that Constantine changed the Sabbath to Sunday in AD 321 is ridiculous, since it can clearly be shown that this practice of gathering on Sunday for worship began in the very first centuries. During the very first century, the church fathers, Ignatius, who was born in AD 69 and was a disciple of the Apostle John, writes, no longer observing Sabbaths, but fashioning their lives after the Lord's day, on which our life also rose through him on Sunday. Justin Martyr, who was born 70 years after Christ, wrote, Sunday is the day on which we hold our common assembly. Jesus Christ on the same day rose from the dead. And Athenaeus, born about AD 296, said, we keep no Sabbaths. We keep the Lord's day as a memorial of the beginning of the new creation. And then there is the early epistle of Barnabas. And although everyone recognizes it's not biblical, it's not canonical, even so, no one ever questioned its historical accuracy. And it states, I shall make a beginning of the eighth day. Well, the eighth day would be the day after the seventh or Sunday. That is the beginning of another universe. Wherefore, we also keep the eighth day, or Sunday, for gladness, on which also Christ rose from the dead. Clearly, early Christians met on Sunday, and they're saying it is not the Sabbath. Then, what did Constantine actually do? If the Christians were already meeting on Sunday, what did he do? Well, he took the day that was being universally observed by followers of Christ, Sunday, and then he required by Roman law that it be set apart as a day of rest. He commanded, and I quote, on the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and people residing in cities rest, and let all the workshops be closed. In other words, he didn't change the day of worship and tell Christians to worship on Sunday. He just said no work was to be done on Sunday. This in turn caused Christians to begin to think of Sunday as a day of rest or a Sabbath day. You know, before that, many of Christians were slaves. They couldn't work. They couldn't take the day of work off. They were commanded to work on Sunday. But now, no one could work on Sunday. And so Christians begin to think of Sunday as a Sabbath of rest, something they'd never done before. But please remember, it did not change the day upon which the Christians worshiped. Fourth, the Sabbath was given only to the nation of Israel. Now that's very important. It was not given to everyone else, as many claim, but only to Israel. Now, since the Sabbath did originate in creation, because we read in Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done, we would think that since that's true, all the primitive nations of the world would have observed it in some form or other at some time. You know, they all did have a garbled account of the flood and a garbled account of creation, which reveals that there was one reliable source for these, which we know later was recorded in the Bible. But the interesting thing is that is very important to this matter of the Sabbath is that the Sabbath is not found or observed by any other nation. It was given to the Jews. No other nation had a Sabbath. You'd think they would, or at least there'd be a mention if God had given it to everyone at the beginning, but there's none. Furthermore, the Sabbath was not given to man until Mount Sinai. Nehemiah said that when God came down to Mount Sinai, he made known to them your holy Sabbath. Nehemiah 9:14. You see, God had to make it known to the Jews. It was unknown before this time. Oh, someone quickly objects, but Genesis 2 says that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Yes, but that doesn't mean he imposed Sabbath keeping on anyone. Myron Houghton explains, notice there is no evidence that God commanded or even suggested to Adam and Eve that they keep the Sabbath. Nor is there any evidence that Noah was a Sabbath keeper. There's no evidence that Abraham was a Sabbath keeper. And then he points out that although in the book of Job, it is very clearly said that Job was blameless and upright and tells about his uprightness, nothing is said about Sabbath keeping. In fact, there's no evidence that God instituted Sabbath keeping for any human beings until he gave it in the law of Moses. It wasn't there. As evangelist John R. Rice concludes, the Sabbath then was first made known to mankind at Mount Sinai. Up to that time, no living person had ever heard of it. God had in his own mind sanctified the seventh day as the close of creation. But this wasn't made known to man till Mount Sinai. And that verse in Genesis 2:3 wasn't written by Moses until after that. Here's a good point. Even though Genesis said God sanctified the Sabbath day, that verse wasn't even written until after the Ten Commandments had been given. Furthermore, when we examine the scriptures, we discover that the Sabbath was given specifically to the nation of Israel. Who were the Ten Commandments given to? The nation of Israel. And in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13, and then 16 through 17, it is plainly stated that the Sabbath is given as a sign between God and the nation of Israel. Let me quote. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to who? To the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and who? The children of Israel forever. And again, later in history, the same thing is expressed or stated by Ezekiel in chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, God speaking, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them, speaking to Israel. Thus, the Sabbath was a special sign, setting the nation of Israel apart from the Gentiles, just like many of their other ceremonial laws or circumcision. And if you still have any doubt, consider Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, where we read, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt." Who was a slave in the land of Egypt? The people of Israel. "And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm." Who was that? The nation of Israel. "Therefore the Lord your God commanded you," who? The nation of Israel, "to keep the Sabbath." Now, I don't know about you, unless you have Jewish blood, I don't think you were ever a slave, and your family was ever a slave in the land of Egypt. I don't think God ever brought you out with a mighty hand. This is limited for Israel. The Sabbath was not given to everyone. It was given to the nation of Israel, ethnic Jews. Fifth, the Mosaic law, including the command to keep the Sabbath, has been fulfilled. Jesus died upon the cross and fulfilled the law. The Mosaic law in its entirety has been fulfilled and is no longer binding, and that then includes the Sabbath command. We need to understand the Mosaic law is one unit. Although it can be analyzed by looking at its civil, ceremonial, and moral elements, the Mosaic law is a unit that cannot be divided. We find that in Galatians chapter 3 and in chapter 5 and in James 2. Because Christ fulfilled the law, Christians are not under the Mosaic law. Romans 6:14, Galatians 2:19, Galatians 5:18. Rather, they are under the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:20-21. That is the commands given by Christ and through the apostles by him, the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, we learn, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ." We're commanded not to be under the law. Please notice that the Sabbaths were only shadows, pictures. Christ is the reality. He's the substance. Now that he has come, we don't follow the shadows. Furthermore, Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, "But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have labored for you in vain." He says, why are you turning back to these things you've been delivered from? What things? Well, months. Those would be the specific ceremonies of the new moon each month that the Jews kept. Times. Well, that would be the Jewish feasts, such as Passover and Pentecost, tabernacles, etc. Years. Well, did you know that the Jews had a sabbatical year? Every 7 years, they were to let the land rest. They were to return the people property that they had bought from them. It was as if you were only renting the property. And so the years spoke of that time. And then the days. Well, that would must refer to the weekly Sabbath day. They've all come to an end for the Christian today. We're not to go back into them. Oh, by the way, if we were to observe the Sabbath, then shouldn't we observe the yearly Sabbath? Shouldn't we observe the feasts? Most Christians would say, no, we don't do those things. Neither are we to observe the weekly Sabbath. Number six. The meaning of the Sabbath is different from that of the Lord's Day. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Sabbath reminds us of the completion of God's creation. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus chapter 20. Very clearly, the Jews kept the Sabbath, reminding them that God was their creator. Now, the Lord's Day, on the other hand, reminds us of God's completion of redemption. Not creation, but redemption, and actually the beginning of a new creation in Christ. When we accept Christ as Savior, we're part of a new creation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, the early church always met on the first day of the week to honor a resurrected Christ and to recognize the fact that they were a new creation in Christ. They did not belong to the old creation, and neither do we, where the Sabbath day is the end of the week, but we as they belong to a new creation, a new day, the first day of the week, the day Christ rose from the dead. It's a totally different meaning. Furthermore, it is a totally different purpose. The purpose of the Sabbath is different from that of the Lord's Day. The Sabbath, as we have seen, was meant as a day of rest. The Lord's Day is meant as a day of worship. There's no doubt about the purpose of the Sabbath. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord, Exodus 31:15. The Sabbath, given in Mosaic law, was not for worship. It was not for church going. It was not for religious activities. The commandment says nothing about assembling for public worship or service. There was not even any synagogues back when it was given in existence. Those didn't occur until after the captivity of the Jews in Babylon. So the weekly Sabbath command has nothing to do with going to church or assembling for preaching and teaching. On the contrary, the people were plainly commanded to abide every man in his place. In other words, they were to stay home on Saturday and rest. We go out on Sunday to worship and serve Christ. You see, our Lord's Day, Sunday, the day Christ rose from the dead, is not primarily a day of physical rest, but primarily a day of worship, praise, and yes, Christian service. And not a day of physical rest, but you might say spiritual rest. Not a day of physical rest, but a day of spiritual rest and blessing. As Warren W. Wiersbe puts it, the New Testament believer begins the week with rest and worship and then spends the week in service. While the Old Testament believer worked for 6 days and then rested and dared not perform any work. You see, the Sabbath speaks of law, but the Lord's Day speaks, my friends, of grace. Lastly, the motivation. The motivation for the Sabbath is different from that of the Lord's Day. The Sabbath was demanded by law. What was the motivation to keep it? The penalty of death. Exodus 35:2. Work shall be done 6 days, but the seventh shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it, what? Shall be put to death. This point is emphasized in the book of Numbers. When a man is out gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, probably to make a fire, and he is arrested, brought before Moses, Moses inquires of God, and God says to execute him. Did you know that a Jewish person was not even allowed to light a fire on the Sabbath day? Exodus 35:3, or to prepare food on the Sabbath day, Exodus 16, verses 23 through 25. Now, most people who say, well, I'm keeping the Sabbath by going to church on Sunday, don't realize by the time they get to church, they've broken the Sabbath under Old Testament law over and over again. Is it winter time and did you turn your furnace up? Well, it caused a little spark and a flame occurred. You kindled a fire. Did you get in your car and start the engine? Well, you may not have noted, but there was a spark there and it started your engine and the gas combusted. There was a fire kindled. You broke the Sabbath. Do you go home and fix a meal? You have broken the Sabbath. You couldn't even go out then and buy a meal somewhere else. You broke the Sabbath. And the Sabbath, you were to stay at home. Have you traveled a good distance to go to church? You have broken the Sabbath. And under the laws of Moses, you were to be put to death. I certainly hope none of our churches are there trying to put people to death for breaking such Sabbath rules. There wouldn't be any members left in the church. On the other hand, the Lord's Day is observed by love for the Savior. There is no command in the New Testament or in the Bible that believers meet on Sunday. We do so out of love for our Savior, not out of commandment, but love for our Savior and Lord, who rose from the dead on that day of the week. As John R. Rice notes, now the observance of the Lord's Day Sunday is not a matter of command. The New Testament Christians did it voluntarily. If we observe the Lord's Day, we too should do it voluntarily, not as a matter of law or command. If you're coming to church because you just commanded to, well, then your relationship isn't right with God. You should be coming to worship because you want to come to worship. You want to come and sing praise to God. You want to come and learn from His Word. And you want to serve Christ. J. Vernon McGee writes, "It is a day when you, as a Christian, demonstrate that you belong to Christ. It is not a day when you do nothing." In other words, it's not a Sabbath of rest. It's a day of service, a day of worship. Therefore, the legalistic keeping of the Sabbath day is not for Christians in this age of grace. We, may I say again, we do not keep the Sabbath. We don't do it on Saturday, neither do we observe Sunday as a Christian Sabbath. No one ever changed this day of Sabbath. It's still on Saturday, but we just don't keep it. We come together on Sunday to observe the Lord's Day, something totally different, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. And in this way, we show our love for our Master. We honor what He has done for us. We enjoy fellowshipping together and being recharged for a new week. And yes, we serve our Lord with the preaching and teaching of His Word and ministering to others. Should we keep the Sabbath? No. Should we meet on Sundays? Yes. For all the good reasons I've mentioned. But we do it voluntarily. We do it out of love. Are you showing your love for your Savior? Are you serving Him on Sundays?